Well, this text for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 33. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. And then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Many of you are aware that recently Don and I completed a building project. I'm referring to our home where we live. But to say recently is a bit misleading because we moved in almost a year ago today. Well, it was November of last year. But to say completed is also not exactly telling the truth because we're still working on it. And some of you encourage me by reminding me that I'll always be working on it, which isn't very encouraging, but I appreciate the thought. But what you may not know, well, let me say, we've been planning for some time, even before we started, to have some kind of event where we can invite all of you over there to see where we live and kind of, you know, just, I guess, get to know us a little bit better that way, but, you know, maybe an open house, something like that, but we're just not quite ready. And so we're working on that, but you don't need an invitation. You can stop by, you know, anytime, visit us. You don't need to call ahead. But seriously, anytime, Monday or Thursday from 5:30 to 6, it will be good. We'll try to be there and we'll try to greet you. But what you may not know is this is not the first time we've done this. This is our second building project as a married couple. And you know, if you do one, you typically say at the end, "I'm never doing this again," but here we are. And this time it wasn't a brand new house. We were living in Elizabeth City trying to find a place to live, you know, and so we couldn't find a house that was what we wanted for what we could afford, and so we decided to do what they do on HGTV and buy a foreclosure and fix it up. Well, that's a television show. You know, it's not as easy as they make it look. But we decided we would do that, and so we found a home, and it was old. And so that presented problems in and of itself, and it was in just terrible condition. You know, the previous owners had just let it go to ruin. There were rumors circulating in the neighborhood that we heard after the fact that there was a lot of illegal activity that occurred in the house. And when we were renovating it, we found evidence to support some of those rumors. But just for an example of how bad it was, in the process of renovating it, I fell through the floor 3 times. Into the crawl space, which wasn't a long way to go, but the floor was just so rotten. That was how bad it was. But to make a long story short, after about 6 months of blood, sweat, and tears, mostly mine, because Dawn was conveniently pregnant, which I'm glad for, but at the time. But everything was great. You know, we moved in, and this house became a home, and then a year later, we decided to move. But when we decided to move, we thought we would sell the house, and so we put it on the market. We didn't get any offers that we were happy with, and so after a long amount of time, we had no choice but to rent it. And so in that moment, we went from being homeowners to landlords. And you might guess that I'm not really cut out to be a landlord. You could just picture me going to someone and saying, could you please pay your rent? I'm like, sure, 6 months, I'm fine with that. Like, however long it takes, you know, we're good. So I kind of struggle with that. And so, but what made it worse was to watch how poorly our tenants treated this home, treated this thing that I had invested so much of in. And I'm not just talking about financially, I'm talking about, you know, the human cost of renovating this home, where the human being me. And I thought back about all the things that I had gone through. When I was demolishing the house, I'm pretty sure I inhaled asbestos. Like, I had on one of these masks approved for like a nuclear waste site, but I'm sure something got in. I'm fairly positive that I came into contact with lead-based paint. I've recovered, but you know, that was part of the deal. I have this image of me straddling a floor joist with each foot planted in someone else's waste because the sewer pipe had come apart and I was replacing the floor. I don't think it was even glued in the first place. And so, and then putting it back together, you know, we're about to eat. I can tell you more stories. But replacing windows, you know, installing flooring, trimming the house, painting the house, replacing the roof, all of which, if you need help doing those things, I've completely forgotten how to do them. But we did all this stuff, and it had all the potential to just be this perfect home. And now these tenants were just destroying it. Now, I'm exaggerating a little bit. When our agreement with them ended, we went back to Elizabeth City to get it ready to put back on the market, and it wasn't that bad. You know, people who are in the landlord business have told me horror stories that made me feel like I was pretty fortunate with what I found. But the thing is, I had just invested so much of myself in this house, you know, that even the little things just really got to me. You know, the holes in the wall, the rent being just a little bit too late, the stains on the carpet, the broken doorknob, the missing covers on the smoke detectors. I mean, all these things said to me, they just didn't care about this house as much as I did. And so you can imagine when we did finally sell it, I was glad to be out of that business, because being a landlord, especially of something that I cared so much about, just really didn't suit me. You know, the parable that Jesus told was about a landlord in a similar situation, only that he was willing to go a whole lot further than I was to protect that investment and to make that into what he wanted it to be. The landlord in Jesus' story didn't own a home, but a large piece of property that he decided to turn into a vineyard. And so he did everything he could to ensure the success of this piece of property. He built a fence around it to keep the animals from getting in there and tearing up the vines. He dug the wine press right there in the center of the vineyard so that they wouldn't have to transport the grapes a long way, so that would facilitate that process. He built a watchtower in the center so that someone could stand in the watchtower and just kind of keep an eye out and make sure that no birds came in or that people didn't hop over the fence to steal the fruit. And so he did all these things, made this huge investment in this property, but he needed people to kind of maintain it. He needed people to tend to the vines and to keep watch over it. And so he found some tenants and he leased it out to them and entrusted them with these responsibilities. But they were awful tenants. You know, they didn't pay their rent. Now for them, their rent was to give a portion of the harvest to the landowner. And so when harvest time came, he sent them his servants to collect that portion of the harvest, and they beat them, they killed them, they stoned some of them. Now, I got upset over a doorknob. You know, they told me that it just broke when they shut the door, but it's metal. You know, I don't believe them. I'm sure it was like abused somehow. And I'm over it. It was just a doorknob. But I got upset over a doorknob, and they killed these people, and he sent another group, you know, to try to get to collect his rent, to give this thing a chance to work. But that was still, and they killed them too, but it was still not enough for him to say, okay, we need to find some other arrangements. And so he sent his son, you know, somehow believing that his son could convince them to give the landowner his due. And what the landowner must have considered an act of mercy, they saw as opportunity. They thought if we kill the son, this vineyard will become ours. And that sounds like a twisted kind of logic, but in that day and time, if a landlord was absent long enough, the land would eventually go into the hands of the people who took care of it. But see, their actions revealed their problem. See, these tenants thought they were owners. They forgot they were renters. You know, they acted as if the landlord has built this vineyard for them and for their enjoyment, but that wasn't the case. He built the vineyard so that he could reap a reward. You know, he built the vineyard for his own benefit, and he was going to great lengths to get a return on this investment, you know, to receive the fruits of his labor, but they continued to withhold that from him. Now, Jesus was telling this parable to the chief priests and the elders, and at this point in the story, he paused and he said, well, what do you think this landowner should do to these tenants? And they were so quick to hand down a sentence of you know, harsh death. They even referred to these tenants as, what was the word? It's not a word we use every day, wretches. And if you call someone a wretch, you really don't like that person. And as Jesus switched topics and started talking about how the stone that the builders rejected was going to become the cornerstone upon which he would build his kingdom, they began to realize that the parable was about them, that they had just pronounced judgment upon themselves. And so, in effect, they were issuing their own eviction notice. Now, in our world, no landlord would go that far to ensure their tenants were protecting their investment. You know, no landlord would be that patient. No landlord would risk sending his son to collect payment after they had killed these others. But this parable isn't about a normal landlord. It's not about a human one. It's about God. And it's about the lengths that God is willing to go to ensure that his people bring him the glory and the honor and the praise that is due him. It's easy for us to see that the vineyard represents God's people. You know, this people that he created, a people that he called into being, you know, a people that he chose out of all the peoples in the earth to be his prized possession, to represent him to a world that had rejected him. And the servants, of course, represent the prophets that God sent, continually sending people to speak to his people, to remind them, to point out the error of their ways, to show them where they had gone wrong, and to call them back to repentance, and to remind them of their holy calling. And like the tenants in the parable, God's people rejected the prophets. They persecuted them. They tortured them. In some cases, they killed them. Now, it's obvious to us the identity of the Son. You know, in telling this parable, Jesus was essentially predicting his own death. You know, he knew what the chief priests and the elders wanted to do. He knew what they would do as soon as they could convince the crowds to join them. And the crucifixion of Jesus would be the final straw. God was going to replace these tenants with people from all nations who would bear the fruit of the kingdom. And the people that God intended to replace them is the people called the church, the community of people who follow Jesus. And the fruit that he expected them to bear, the fruit that he expects to receive from these people, are the transformed lives. You know, people who exhibit things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. These are the fruits of the kingdom. He was wanting to create a people that looked like Jesus. And through the church, God receives the honor and the glory and the praise that he deserves. And so now, as a part of the church, as followers of Jesus, God is asking us, what kind of tenant are you? What are you doing with God's investment in your life? He has literally poured blood, sweat, and tears into you. And for a purpose, to forgive you of your sins, to transform you, to make you into a new creation, to bear the fruits worthy of the kingdom. Sometimes it's easy to forget. We're not the owner. We're the renter. You know, we've been purchased for a great price. You know, purchased by the precious blood of Christ, and so we should honor him with our life. You know, many of you are familiar with the Moravian Church, or at least their cookies. They make some really good cookies. But there's more to the Moravians than cookies. In some ways, we share some of their heritage. They originated in Germany and actually predated the Protestant Reformation. They were Protestant before it was cool to be Protestant. And there's a story that they tell within their church of two young Moravian men, really boys, by their ages. And I might have told this story to you before, but you'll allow me this repetition on Pastor Appreciation Sunday. But these two young boys felt compelled to become missionaries. And specifically, they felt called to an island that was inhabited entirely by slaves. So this was obviously many years ago. And they just couldn't bear the thought, this was a very isolated place, and they couldn't bear the thought that these men would grow up on this island in slavery and never have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And they believed that it was God's call for them to go and share this with these men, these people. And so they tried many times approaching the owner of the island to get permission to go there and to share the gospel. And each time they did this, the owner refused. He said, you cannot come. He didn't want that to be a part of what he was doing. And so finally they decided that the only way they could accomplish this mission was to literally sell themselves into slavery to the owner of this island. And so they did this. They sold all their possessions. They sold themselves. And as they were preparing to board the ship that would carry them to this island, you know, many of their friends and family had gathered around to say goodbye, and it really was goodbye. They would never see these men again. And naturally, many of them were asking them, you know, why are you doing this thing? And each time their answer was the same. So that the lamb that was slain will receive the reward of his suffering. You know, Jesus suffered for a purpose, to bring you and me and all who would to God. That was his intent. You know, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. You know, that would become the slogan of Moravian missions, and it remains that way to this day. And so I want to leave you with this question. Is the lamb that was slain receiving the reward of his suffering in your life? Is your life bearing fruit for the kingdom? Let's pray. Our Father, as your followers, you have given us such a holy calling to be your people in a world that has rejected you, to boldly proclaim your truth, to live lives that have been transformed by your grace, to say to the world that this is what you always intended for us to be. And Lord, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But in our hearts, we want to give you that return on your investment. We want to be faithful stewards of this life that you've given to us. We want to obey this calling that we have received. And we believe by your grace at work in our lives and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can do this thing. We can be the people that you created us to be. We can bear fruit for your kingdom. We can live our lives in such a way that gives you glory and gives you honor and gives you praise. Help us to do just that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.